Good morning, GCBCR. It is good to be here this morning. Today we're talking about hindsight 2020. And for those who are not familiar with the term hindsight, it refers to the ability to understand an event only after it happened. And we have a lot of moments like that where while the event is happening, we have no clue as to what is going on. But only after sometimes hours or days or months or years, when we look back, then we understand why those events were happening. But at that moment, we're just very confused why this is happening. 2020 refers to vision. And so if you have 2020 vision, it means you have very clear vision. And therefore, hindsight 2020 means the ability to understand an event only after it happens. And it is clear now, but it was not obvious before. I think about my life and just various events that have happened in hindsight, and there is one that stands out in my mind as absolutely being bizarre. And it is one of those events that had led me to America. Looking back now, I understand why it happened, but back then it was just so bizarre to me that I wasn't sure what was happening. In fact, it's so bizarre, I'm not sure you will believe what I'm saying. And it was so bizarre that it made me question how responsible my parents were. So here's the story.
But now that I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, hindsight 2020. So like I said, this was back between high school graduation and I was getting ready to apply for college apps, right? And one of the things that me and my friend got involved in was a sponsorship to go to Singapore. So there was a shipping company that was willing to sponsor college students for a full ride. So this is a full scholarship to go to one of the colleges in Singapore for marine engineering. So if you have no clue what marine engineering is, think about mechanical engineers working on a ship. That's basically what it is. I'd be working on like the engines and all that stuff on a shipping company. And so the night before the interview, my friend and I, we drove down, well, I didn't drive, but his parents drove us down to Singapore, and we went to visit this fortune teller. Okay, back then we were Buddhists, and as any good, decent, honorable Buddhist would do, we would consult fortune tellers before making any major life decisions, right? So we drove down the night before, and I remember this so clearly. We were in this small, dark room. It was smoky because of all the incense. And so this fortune teller was sitting in front of me and my friend, and he started like getting into a trance. Right? He's going like, he starts chanting, he starts dancing, and it went on for a while, and I'm like, what is going on? When he was done, he looked at my friend, and my friend's name was Chin Tiam, and so he looked at him, he's like, you're good to go. You're going to get the scholarship. You can enroll, no problem. So my friend's like, yes. Then he looks at me, and he starts shaking his head. He's like, So I got kind of worried. I'm like, whoa, wait, why did you say okay to my friend, and you're shaking your head as you're looking at me? This can't be good. And so he shakes on his head for a while. And this is literally what he said. I kid you not. He said, you think about girls too much. I'm like, what? He said, you're not going to be able to handle being on a ship for 6 to 9 months at a time. You think about girls too much. Literally, that's what he said to me, okay? I'm like, what? He said, but you will get the scholarship, but you can't go. So I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with this, like, revelation? And so the next day, my friend and I, we went and we did the interview, and sure enough, both of us got the scholarship. Okay, this is a full ride scholarship for 4 years in the college for an engineering course. My parents don't have to pay anything for us to go there. So the next day, we went back to Malaysia, and I told my parents, I said, hey, this is what the fortune teller said. But the good news is I got the scholarship, okay? You don't have to pay a thing. And I told my parents, The fortune teller said, I shouldn't do this because I think about girls too much and I'm going to have a hard time being on a ship for that long. And so this is what my parents said. They're like, okay, I guess you're not going to Singapore then. Okay, which parent here would not send their kids on a free ride to college? My parents, apparently. And so they listened to this fortune teller and say, okay, you're not going there. And that's how I ended up in America. If Aiden got a scholarship, I'm like, you're going. I don't care if you're thinking about girls. Okay, you're going because I don't want to pay for your college education. But that's what happened. And our lives have a lot of moments like that, right? I stand here right now and I look back. I'm like, okay, I get it. Why that happened? But I was so confused. I was kind of angry at my parents because they wouldn't let me go with my friends to Singapore and study. But now looking back, it makes sense. And look at where I am right now. In America, that's how I met my wife, got my kids, part of a great church. You know, I look back and think, wow. So that's how God connected all those dots for me and led me here. And our life is full of those moments. In fact, if we look back at our lives, it's just the bulk of our lives are hindsight moments, right? It isn't until much later that we look back and say, oh, so that's why that happened, or oh, okay, now I understand why that happened, or why I met that person. And it could be good things, like meeting your spouse, or getting a job promotion, or it could be negative things, like losing your health, losing a job, getting an A- for your grade in high school. Good or bad, we question, and a lot of times we're just not sure, like, why is this happening in my life right now? Why is this happening? What is the purpose in this? What is the meaning in this? What is this going to lead to? None of us know. But in hindsight, when we look back, we're like, okay, I get it. That's why that happened. And today, that's what we're going to get to. We realize that our life is just full of hindsight moments, and God knows that. And He knows that a lot of times we're so blinded by our circumstances, especially when we're in events that are very traumatic for us. We start questioning, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why? And we get no answers. And today God's going to shine a light on that and help us see why are these things happening in our lives. And not only is He going to help us get us through these situations, He will shine a light and say, all right, I'm going to set you up so that in the future you don't get into these situations and start asking why. Right? God's going to set us up in such a way that we are prepared to go into the future and have less and less of those hindsight moments, but more and more future looking and future equipping and preparing. So that's the passage that we're going to get through in the book of Ruth today. It's going to be really great. Unfortunately, we're wrapping up the book of Ruth today. It's the last sermon. Very sad about it because the book of Ruth is awesome. But for those who have not joined us, let me just give some context because we are wrapping up the book, just so you know what's been going on for the last couple weeks. The book of Ruth is, we're following these two widowers. It's the mother-in-law called Naomi and the daughter-in-law called Ruth. And for the first three chapters, if we look at their lives, it's just sufferings and difficulties and challenges one after another, right? They lost their husbands. Naomi lost her sons. They became impoverished. They had no place to live. They didn't have a land to be at. Just a lot of hardships that were going on in their lives. And if you were just reading that, you would ask the question, why is God doing this to these poor women? You know, what is the meaning in all of these? And I'm pretty sure Naomi and Ruth were asking the same question. But today is about a year later, and Naomi is going to be standing in a very different spot, and she's going to look back, and she's going to say, man, in hindsight, I know what's going on now. But then, first three chapters, she had no clue why all these things were happening to her. So that's what we get to go into this morning. This is really great because I think it sets us up for life, right? Less and less hindsight moments, more and more moments in front that we can look forward to. So if you will turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 4, that's where we're at this morning. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. We will read till verse 16, so 13 through 16, okay? Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her hands and cared for him. This Naomi that we see here is a radically different Naomi than the one we've seen in the first three chapters. Okay, the general mood here is we're given a picture of Naomi holding her grandchild, right? It's a son. And she's looking at this child, and you can just picture her face looking at him. She's smiling, right? She's feeling joy. And in fact, if we read all these verses that kind of led up to that, it's a time of celebration. The women are praising, saying, "Wow, you have a child now." And they're praising and saying, "This child is going to be famous." It's a time of celebration. It's joy. That's the general feel of this passage, which is radically different from, if you will remember, barely a year ago, is where Naomi's hardship really started. She had moved several times internationally, and we asked, why is she moving so many times? She moved to a foreign land that God told the Jewish people not to do, and we asked, why did they do that? Her sons married foreign Moabite women, which is prohibited to Jewish men, and we asked the question, why is this happening? For 10 years, they didn't have any kids, and we asked, why is this happening? And then the husband and the sons died, and we say, God, what is going on? Why are you doing this to this woman? And we ask, why is this happening? No answers. And then she comes back to Bethlehem. She's got no place to stay. She's living in poverty. There's no one taking care of them. And we ask God, why is this happening? And it isn't until Ruth started meeting Boaz that things really started changing for them, right? But we still ask the question, why Boaz? Why Ruth? What is going on here? What are all these seemingly random things that you're showing us, God, leading to? So that was the life of Naomi back then. It was just a lot of hardship, a lot of suffering. And we ask, why? Why is all this stuff happening, God? We have no idea why you're showing this to us. And the purpose of that today is to show us that every event that happens, whether in the life of Naomi or Ruth or in our lives, it is not random. It's not random. In fact, God has a purpose in each one of these events, but the limitation comes from us. All right, the problem is us. That's why we ask why, because we have no idea what's going on. And this is the problem that we have, is that our entire life consists of hindsight moments because of our limited view. And this is easy to understand, right? How long does someone live? 80 years. All we get preview to in the history of all humanity are those 80 years. And so when that's all we can look at, we have no idea how all these events or things that happen in our lives connect, right? That's why everything that happens, we have to ask, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And only in hindsight do we see the dots connecting. And many times I'll tell you, I'll look at the dots, I still have no idea how they connect. And in the life of Naomi today, God is showing us these are all the dots that are connecting, and they're leading to something even greater. Today in this passage, it leads to the joyful celebration of a grandson for Naomi, when barely a year ago we would have thought this would have never happened. So let me illustrate this way. If we can just look at something super, super tiny, for example, if I show you a picture right now and it's zoomed in, tell me what you think about this picture and what picture is it off, okay? And I'm so sure you're not gonna get this. I have a Chick-fil-A gift card here. So anyone who can guess this picture gets a free meal at Chick-fil-A. You can go there today for lunch. But actually, don't do that, because Vivian, Nick, and Perit is cooking today's lunch, so it's going to be great. All right, here's the picture. What is this zoomed-in picture of? Yeah. A mouth? No, that was my first thought. Judy. someone's bag? Back, like someone's back? No, but that would be a very disturbing back if it really was someone's back. All right, what do you got? A bean? All right, one more try. High schooler, Aiden. Red bell pepper, I could see it, not really. All right, Lee, last one, Lee, what you got? Lee, what you got? It's a chair? No, it's not a chair. I guess this is my lunch today then. All right, this is what it is. It's the cap of a Coke bottle. If you zoom in enough, it's the cap of a Coke bottle, okay? So I could tell the energy that was going on in this room, because all we got to see was this limited view of something that were like, what in the world is that? People were frustrated. I could see some anxieties there because they really wanted the Chick-fil-A gift card. They're like, I really need to get this gift card. But just this small little illustration, you could see like, we just got really frustrated. We're like, what is this? What picture is this? I can make no sense out of what this picture is, right? And it isn't only till afterwards that I showed you the bigger picture that everyone goes, oh, we had someone that was shocked. They're like, what? It's a bottle cap? And that unfortunately describes our state that God tells us in. We are very limited in our view, in what we see. So a lot of times we look at things that are going on in our lives and it makes no sense to us. And I think about a very particular story in our family, and it relates to my mother-in-law, actually. So the reason I think about her is because her story is very similar to Naomi. She went through a very dark period about 10 to 15 years ago, and it was just hardship, and she felt very hopeless. She was asking, like, why is all this stuff happening to me? She went to the doctor a lot. She was on a lot of medication. And so that's why I thought about her when I was thinking about this sermon. And in hindsight, her life now is so different. Like, if you met her now, you can't even imagine what she was 15 years ago. Today, she is full of joy in the Lord. Right, she was actually joking with me this morning and she was smiling, something that probably would not have happened to her 15 years ago. And if I look back and I say, you know, in hindsight, what happened here? How did she end up from a place of hopelessness to a place of joy in the Lord? And there's really two events that happened in our lives that at the point when it happened, I kind of questioned, like, why is this happening? So the first one is the birth of Aiden. When we found out that Winnie was pregnant with Aiden, we're like, yay, but we're kind of not ready for this. And so we're like, oh, I guess now we have to, you know, be ready to be parents. And it wasn't till Winnie's mom came on over to help us take care of baby Aiden that she told us, she said, you know what, the birth of Aiden was, she said he was like her saving angel. If he had not been born, then she would have gone deeper and deeper in her hole. But the fact that Aiden was born, it lifted her spirits up. And when she came over here, Aiden, she said, saved her life. All right. Tuwini and I were like, why is this happening right now? But in God's planning, Aiden saved his grandma's life. And the second part is, one of the things that I had struggled a lot with is, why am I in a Chinese church? I look Asian, but I can't really speak Asian that well. I can't even read. Like, I can't even read Chinese, okay? I'm like a fake Asian. So for a good 10 years of our life in this Chinese church, I'm like, why am I here? In fact, we went to several churches, you know, that aren't Asian churches, because I just, like, I don't know why I'm here. So confused. And now I look back in hindsight, and I know God used this journey of ours, even though I wasn't sure why we were doing this, to lead Winnie's mom to knowing him in a church that speaks her mother tongue, and to hear a gospel that she can understand. And so it's stories like that where you look back in hindsight and you go, whoa, that's how God was just directing all our steps. And now it makes sense. But back then it didn't. And God actually tells us this in scripture, okay? He tells us that that is unfortunately the place that we're at. And so let me just read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9 to 12 to us. And he tells us this very plainly. He says, that is the circumstance that you're at. So God is saying, okay, your view is just parts. Like, you don't have the full picture. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. So there's good news here. Our understanding, our limited view is temporal, right? God is telling us at some point in time, completeness is going to come. And then he goes on and say, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And so kids, I mean, you know kids, they think they know everything, but they don't. All right, they think they know everything, but the way they think is like a kid. An adult thinks differently, an adult knows way more. An adult's way of looking at the world is broader than what a child is. And God is saying there's this transition that's going to happen. And verse 12, for now we see only a reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. And this is saying that the lens that we use to see the world is like a mirror, okay? Mirrors are just reflections. They're not the real thing. And there's a lot of blemishes in mirrors. Some mirrors are warped. And so the views that we see are warped and limited, and it doesn't reflect the real thing. But it says here, at some point, we're going to see Christ face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And so God tells us there's this point in time where everything is going to be revealed to us in completeness and in fullness. But in the meantime, we're going to be stuck in this partial kind of reflection world. And it's going to continue to be frustrating. It's going to continue to show anxieties. It's going to continue to be very puzzling to us why certain things are happening in our lives. But God has good news. Like I said, there is a time that's going to come when completeness is going to come. And this is the other thing that is really comforting to me. In Psalm 139, he says, verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, and so this is the psalmist singing out. He says, before I even say stuff through my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. And this points to the omniscience of God, which is God being all-knowing, right? There's verses and passages just littered all over Scripture that tells us God knows things that we don't. In fact, in this particular verse, he says, before I even like say a word, God already knows what I'm going to say. And so that's the comforting part for us. You know, as a child, I don't know a whole lot. And so my parents are there to kind of guard me. My parents are there to guide me because they know the world. And so Christ tells us here is we're kind of like a kid. Our view is limited. Our understanding is limited. Things that we see is warped. But we can trust in the Father in heaven, because he sees all. He's omniscient. His view is not limited. He is complete. And so when we put our trust in Jesus and in God, that's what we're trusting, that God is for us, he's not against us, he sees it all, and even when we're confused and we're frustrated, we can trust that he sees everything and that he's for us. So for me, that is a huge comfort, and that's why, you know, especially in times when I'm just questioning why certain things are happening, especially negative things that are going on in my life, I put home in trust and trust in God, because he sees all, he knows all, and he tells us very plainly he's for us, not against us. But that's not where God wants us to be, right? He doesn't want us to be a group of people who looks back and say, man, I wish I did that different, or I look in hindsight and say, man, I wish something else happened there. He doesn't want us to be people like that. This is where he wants us to go to. He wants to move us from hindsight to foresight. He wants us to move us from a people who's going to stop looking back and saying, all right, I see the dots now, to people who are looking forward and saying, what is the path that I need to be walking on so I stop looking back and regretting all the things that I've done? All right, Scripture tells us God wants to move us from hindsight to foresight. Why do I say that? Let's read out the rest of Ruth chapter 4. Because this is where God gives us a glimpse for why and how he wants us to move that way. So go back to Ruth chapter 4, verse 17 through 22. That's what we're going to end this passage with. Ruth chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. How does God want us to move from hindsight to foresight? Ruth chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. The women living there say Naomi had a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. At first glance, we look at this and we're like, wait, that's just genealogy. You know, that's like, who's dad, whose son? There doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on here. But if we look closer, remember, Ruth was written before King David even was born. All right, so it ended in verse 22 with David. And if you were a Jewish person reading this, you would have been in complete shock. Because you're thinking, wait, the prophesied royal line of David, which hasn't even happened yet, is going to come from Ruth and Boaz? What is happening? Ruth isn't even a Jewish woman. She's a foreigner. She's a Moabite. How is this even possible? That would be the first reaction the Jewish people would have. And then the second reaction is, there's all these prophecies about Jesus, right, the coming Messiah who's coming from the line of David. And so the Son of God, who is perfect in every way, sinless and righteous, who's going to come to save humanity from sin so that we can be reconciled to God, like that perfect Son of God, Jesus, is going to come from this line of Ruth and Boaz? Yeah. And that's the shocking thing to us, is that God would use the line of Ruth and Boaz, a completely unclean line, to bring about the royal line of King David, who is the most famous, influential king in all of Israel, and further down the road, to bring about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is what's amazing to us. In Romans 1, chapter 1 to 4, it ties the line of David to Jesus Christ. And in fact, there are 17 mentions in the New Testament tying Jesus directly to the line of David. And this is from Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand, right, so this is foresight, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as his earthly life was a descendant of David. So the son is pointing to Jesus Christ, ties him to David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So God gives us foresight to the Jewish people back then, to us right now, and say there is this event that's going to happen, right? To the Jewish people who are waiting for the royal line of David, that King David is going to come. Watch out for that guy. And then to those who are waiting on the Messiah, Jesus Christ, there's the Son of God is going to come through the line of David. Watch out for that guy. And for us today, God continues to give us foresight and say, you know, even though Christ have died and risen and ascended to heaven, he's coming back again. And so God is giving us even more foresight. Like people here, me, you, that an event is going to happen that we need to be watching out for. That Christ is coming back, and we have to be prepared for that. That's one example. In fact, that's the most important foresight that God wants us to have, is this coming event of Christ coming back. And all of us need to be prepared for that. And the way that we prepare for that is by proclaiming Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's the most important thing. Of course, the rest of Scripture has a ton of just daily practical foresight, right? If you're not married, there's a ton of things in here that God tells us what to do, how to react when you're married. All kinds of marital advices. God also gives us a ton of financial advices in Scripture. And so if we're looking for daily living foresight into how to do all these things coming forth in our lives, in different seasons of our lives, Scripture has that. But all of these point to the main foresight that God wants to prepare us for, which is the coming of Jesus Christ. And so all of us need to be ready for that. So let me just, I can't stress how important having foresight is versus looking at things in hindsight. And I want to give an example that recently happened, and we're going to see the difference between those who had foresight and those who are looking in hindsight, and the vast, radical different outcome it had for the two groups of people. So this is the first group. A couple weeks ago, there was a shooting in a high school in Florida. If you were watching the news, or at least be on social media, it was all over. And so 17 people, students and teachers, were shot and they died. And it wasn't until days later in the news where they said, you know what, now that we follow the trail, there were tons of clues. Looking in hindsight, right? They're looking back. There were tons of clues as to this shooter. He had been posting on social media. In fact, the FBI knew about this person. The authorities had been alerted about this person. Friends have been talking about this person and saying he was going to be a shooter. And looking in hindsight, all these clues, all these connecting dots came about. But the problem is, when we look in hindsight, it didn't save the lives of the 17 people, right? It already happened. It's too late. It's in hindsight. And here's another event that happened actually this past Thursday. This was in Henrico County High Schools. On Thursday, all the parents received a letter from the Henrico County Public School that said threats to bodily harm to students have been made to three high schools, Glen Allen, Deep Run, and Godwin, three of them. And so the letter said the school knows about this and they're working with the police to figure out what is going on. And so literally between Thursday evening, this is like right before Winnie and I went to sleep, and even up till like 12 o'clock we were still checking emails to see, you know, what were the updates. So apparently what was happening is a 16-year-old boy made threats on Snapchat that says, I'm going to do something to these students in these three schools and it's going to be worse than the Florida high school shooting. Like, he made that threat. And so between Thursday evening to Friday morning, the Henrico police, the Homeland Security, the FBI, Henrico County Public Schools, like all these bodies were working through the night to figure out what is going on, who is this person, is this credible? And finally, Friday morning, they arrested this kid. Okay, so this kid is in custody right now. And so what happened is, in this particular case, there were foresight, right? They saw all the signs, they knew what was going to happen before it happened, and they acted on the foresight. Drastically different outcome from what would have happened if this kid went and started shooting up kids in Deep Run High School, Glen Allen High School, or Godwin. Vast different between looking in hindsight or looking forward with foresight. And this is just one example. God wants us to be a people who don't look back. He wants us to look forward. And he puts all kinds of stuff in scripture for us to see that. Huge difference between these two, shooting and potential shooting. So this is the challenge for us today. Knowing all these things, what I think the big question now is, okay, if God wants us to have foresight, how is he revealing this to us, right? How does he want us to know what's going to happen in the future? How do we prepare for things in the future, whether it's daily living or preparing ourselves eternally for Christ Jesus? And the answer is so simple. It's this. It's scripture. Like, I'm not even kidding about how simple the solution is. God has left all these foresight in his word, in scripture, for us to read. And I can't tell you enough how many people I know who have never read the Bible from front to back. If we think foresight is so important, and we think that God thinks it's so important that he has left his word for us, do you not think it would be crazy for us not to read this? And so I have a challenge for all of us between now and Easter. And I'm going to start flinging out all these Chick-fil-A cards. I have more than one incentive here. Chick-fil-A. And here's the challenge. Between now and Easter, we got about 20 days, right? 20 days. And in your bulletin insert, you have this. So you got something that looks like this. If you don't have it, it's probably at the back. Just grab it from the back. It says, how long does it take to read a book in the Bible? And the challenge is for the New Testament. So in theory, if you read through the New Testament or just listen, so I do audio Bible a lot because I just don't have time to sit down and like read stuff. So you can choose to read or you can choose to listen. The New Testament takes about 15 to 20 hours if you read through it or listen to it. And we got about 20 days between now to Easter. So the challenge is, if you can spend an hour a day going through the New Testament from beginning, book of Matthew till the end, book of Revelation, and you can honestly come up to me on Easter day and say you did that honestly without, okay, trying to manipulate and work the system, I will give you a Chick-fil-A card. So anyone who comes up to me on Easter day and say, Pastor Carter, I went through this, I cherish God's foresight, and I read his word, I'm prepared for what's ahead of me, I will hand out Chick-fil-A cards to everyone who comes up to me and rises up to the challenge, okay? It's enough for a meal, at least. Okay, so you're not going to have to put in extra money in there. You can go there and get a meal, and you're good. Yes? I'm going to be broke on Easter Day. It's okay. God has been blessing me. I'm good. So that's the challenge, okay? If we believe that God wants us to move from a people of hindsight to foresight, then it behooves us to spend time in his word, knowing what God wants us to know about future events and how to deal with practical daily things that comes up in our lives. So that's the challenge. I hope I can at least give one of these cards away. All right, it's not that hard to go through scripture an hour a day. If your drive to work or you're sitting in a school bus, 30 minutes, that's already half done. On the way back, another 30 minutes, that's an hour in. It's not that hard to get an hour of scripture in every day. But I'm going to tell you, this is probably the best investment you can make in your life, spending time in scripture. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you're so good, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word of just showing us the life of Ruth and Naomi, God, on how things that happen in their lives seems meaningless and purposeless, but they aren't. That everything, God, that happens in their lives and in our lives has purpose. And God, we thank you that in our moments of just desperation, asking why are all these things happening, we can put our trust in you, that you have seen all of this, that you know what is happening, and that you are for us. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us your word through scripture, helping prepare us for life, and also not just right now, but eternally. We thank you, Lord, for doing that for us and for loving us in such a way. And so, God, I pray that you challenge us each day to spend time in your word, to see what it is, God, that you want us to be prepared for. We give you praises and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.